We're going to read beginning with verse 14 in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, I'm really bad at sermon titles. I don't do good with sermon titles. I've had to ask my wife over the years a few times to help me out. I didn't ask her, so I've got this really long, not good title. Although I think it's good, but it's this long. Jesus is the master of your down-to-earth situation. Does that make sense? Maybe it will. I'll hear in just a minute. Jesus is the master of your down-to-earth situation. I'm going to pull that out of Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." When you read and study Matthew 17, you're going to see a lesson in two contrasts here. First of all, when you read the first part, which I did not read as a part of the text, the first part of the chapter is the account of the transfiguration of Jesus. Jesus goes up on a high mountain, and on that mountain, he is glorified. He's transfigured. It means, really, that what they saw was not just his human physical body, but they saw him in his glorified state. He literally shone and glowed. And not only did they see Jesus in this glorified state, but they also, with him, were Elijah that was with him, and the prophet that was there with him, and Moses was with him. And they were there talking with him, communing with Jesus. And so this was an amazing experience for these three disciples who went up on top of the mountain with Jesus. And it says that while that they spoke, that that the heavens opened and the cloud, out of the cloud was the voice of the Lord saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." This was quite an experience for these three disciples. Now, they had had encounters with Jesus. They had traveled with him. They had heard his teachings. They had witnessed his miracles. And no doubt were amazed at all the wonderful things. But this was a whole step higher. What they were experiencing here was Jesus without just the limitation of his humanity. Jesus being viewed in his glorified state, literally shining and glowing and the voice of God himself out of heaven, and these two older prophets of God appearing and speaking to them as they're there on top of the mountain. This is what you would call a great mountaintop experience that they had. It was so great that they said, "Lord, let's just build three temples up here. Let's build one for you, one for Moses, one for the prophet, and let's just build three temples here, and let's just stay here." And they were ready to move in and to live in that kind of an atmosphere because it was such a glorious, glorious experience. And but the fact of the matter is that they couldn't stay there, and it wasn't the will of God for them to stay there. It was his will for them to have the experience, for them to see Jesus in that state and to encounter him in his glorified state, to see all that was going on. They got a glimpse into the glories and the greatness of the Lord. They saw what other disciples didn't see. And it was a wonderful experience. But then they had to come down. They had to come back down to earth. When they came back down to earth, as soon as they arrived back down at the bottom of the hill, they are met by great crowds of people. Great throngs of people are there who are wanting to hear from Jesus. And this was a common occurrence, especially in the early days of Jesus' ministry. People were everywhere wanting to hear, wanting him to touch them, wanting them to minister to them. They wanted to have connection and a touch from Jesus, especially in the early part of Jesus' ministry. That was going on. But this was the contrast that I was describing. This is a lesson in contrast, because there's this glorified, glorious state of seeing Jesus glorified and hearing the voice come out of heaven, seeing those great old prophets of God and hearing them converse there on top of the mountain. And then they have to come back down the regular life, the down-to-earth life that we, all of us, live for the most of the time. Now, over the years, there have been a lot of times when I've personally had some wonderful spiritual experiences, some wonderful times where I've heard the voice of the Lord and I've been blessed. There have been messages preached in my lifetime, my Christian experience, that have been life-changing for me. I've heard them and they've just changed my life. They set my life in a completely different course. One sermon has had that kind of a power and influence. I've been in services where it seemed like the whole service, that there was just a special presence of God. The glory of God was there. But not only in church, but there have been other times and other places, even on my own time, when I've just sensed the help and the presence of God, the glory of the Lord, the help of the Lord. And I guess we could say, wouldn't it be nice just to camp out there, just to stay there? Let's build a temple there and let's stay in that experience. But the thing of it is this is not God's will. Because we are to live in this down-to-earth world. We have been called to live in the everyday, challenging world. We have been called to the experience of this world that we live in. We're to be salt. We're to be light. We're to be the voice of the Lord. We're to touch the world with the power and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is a lesson in faith for these three disciples. To see the greatness of the glory of God, but then to come back down to the reality of this is where we live. And not only do we live here, but this is where we have been called to serve, to minister. This is where we have called to let our light shine and to touch as many people as we can. We are called. We are in this world, obviously. I know it's a cliche, but it's just the truth. We are in the world, but we are not really of this world. But yet we are here in this world, placed here by God as the church, as believers. And our calling is make an impact. Touch the lives of people. Change those that you can change. Touch them. And that's what we have been called to. And so it'd be nice if we could always just live on this high of great spiritual experiences. But that's not reality, nor is it biblical. It's not the call of God. The call of God, yeah, we'll have experiences like this. We'll have wonderful times where we experience the presence of God. Then we have to walk out there into the world and face every type of circumstance that's going on in our world right now. All the desperation, all of the needs, all of the burdens. I would say represented right here in this service. When you walk out of your church service, you have some of you have to go home to an unsaved companion. Some of you have children that don't know the Lord. Some of them that are in trouble. Some of them that have great needs. You have other circumstances. Maybe the bank account's pretty well low. Or there's someone in your family, or maybe even you personally. You're dealing with some physical situation where you really need help and healing in your life. I would dare say that almost everyone, if not everyone, in this service this morning, you're living in this world and you're dealing with things that are not easy. They're challenging. And they are sometimes overwhelming to you. You don't know what to do. Well, that's the predicament that this man was in that met Jesus. there. I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't just live in these glorious experiences, but he's also right here in the down-to-earth, everyday things that we face. Amen. And we all go through them. We all go through heartache and trouble. We all go through sad things and losses and burdens and worries and heaviness. And that's just the experiences, even of the people of God. We do have times that are very difficult and challenging. I think it's a wonderful thing that out of all this crowd of people that came to meet Jesus, that this one man was heard out of the crowd. One man was heard. Does that mean that his need was more important? Maybe not. Does that mean that he was loved anymore by the Lord? No, not at all. So what was it that brought this circumstance to the attention of Jesus? This is a desperate situation. And out of all of this crowd that's gathered that day, and Jesus sees the crowd, he's pressed by the crowd, but somehow this man gains his attention. Amen. I am convinced that God hears the prayer of the desperate. I really believe that God hears the cry of those that get desperate before him. Your circumstance is rough and difficult and challenging. But the question is, are you just kind of, you know, languishing in your trouble and your sorrow? Or are you trying to run to Jesus and get help? Are you trying to turn to the Lord for answers? Have you become desperate and in your desperation willing to do whatever it takes to break through the crowd and to be heard by Jesus? This is the world we live in. Every day, almost every day of my life, I'm encountering people who are in great need, desperate need. And they have come to a place of desperation in their life. But Jesus is able to come right down to the level of where you are in your trouble and your desperation, and he will help you. Praise God. Psalm 34, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus, who, even though he is the transfigured Lord, he is the glorified Jesus, he's the all-knowing, the all-powerful Jesus, he is also the Jesus who gets right down to where you are. He comes right down to where you are. And really, all that we know about Jesus coming to this earth and coming in his frailty and in his humanity, all that he did, he came down to this earth. His incarnation is but a lesson in the fact that Jesus is willing to get down and to the place where you are in the hopelessness of your circumstance. And so don't ever think that God does not care. He cares about those that are living in the slums of India, those that are living in the ghettos of South America. He loves and cares about those who are starving in many of the African nations, people that are suffering and going through. Jesus came and he gets right down to where they are because that's who he is. He's the glorified Lord who does not care to lower himself and to come where you are and to help you in your need. There's a lot of people that don't cry out for help because they don't think they deserve it. Or they don't think that their cry for help will be heard. But that's not the truth. He will hear your cry. He will hear your desperation and the cry of your heart. And I want to encourage you here this morning, no matter what it is you're up against, that Jesus cares. He loves you, and not only does he love you, but he was willing to condescend to where you are, to get right down on your level where you are, and help you in the desperate situation that you are in. Mark chapter 10 and verse 47 is the story of the blind man Bartimaeus. when you read that account, he's placed there. And when Jesus comes passing by, even though that all those around him are saying, "Be quiet, be quiet. He has no time for you. He's a busy man." I don't know what all they were saying to him, but they were trying to stop him from approaching unto Jesus and crying out to Jesus. But it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Amen. And even though they tried to stop him, the Bible says that he cried out the more. He didn't allow. There was something about the presence of Jesus and his need. And he knew that this was a last chance opportunity for him to receive the help that he was in need of. His situation was desperate, just like this man in Matthew 17. What was the desperate situation that this man is in? He said, "Lord, I need you to have mercy upon me, on my son. My son is a lunatic." And when he said that, that's a term, of course, the first part of lunatic comes from the word lunar. And he was saying he's moonstruck. He's affected. And really what he was saying is he's mentally crazy. And many believe that it was associated with even the move and the changing and the movement of the moon. And that's where we get our term, in the biblical term, lunatic. He's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falls into the water and often falls into the fire and often into the water. "And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." His situation is desperate. And I think that there are probably some of you here today. There have been a number of times over the years where I've had situations that became so desperate. I did not know what to do except just to say, "Lord, I've got to have help. I've got to have you to help me." Desperate needs where I've had to have God rescue me, deliver me, help me in my desperate situation. This young man was physically bound. And when you read on the text, you'll realize that it was more than just epilepsy. We know that epilepsy is a disease and a condition that people suffer with. And just because a person has epilepsy doesn't mean it's demon-inspired or affected by demons. We know that. But this man, this boy rather, he was sick. He was suffering with seizures and times when he was out of control. And this demonic influence in his life was a spirit of destruction and murder that wanted to destroy him, throw him in the fire, throw him in the water and drown him, whatever. The circumstance was desperate. And finally, this father has gotten desperate, so desperate that he will break through the crowd and he'll interrupt the smiles and this experience that Jesus and the disciples have just come down from, this glorious experience. And he interrupted all of the glory of that moment to say, "I am desperately in need. I've got to have help." I guess, I don't know, if I would have been one of the disciples, it would almost seem like he was interrupting. It was almost like, "You know, back off here a little bit. We're having our moment here. It's been really a good day. I've been in the presence of God and the glory of the Lord, and I've had this wonderful, glorious experience." Like we have a lot of times in church services. Like we experience in revival meetings or spiritual outpourings of the Spirit in our life. And we're grateful for those times. But you got to remember that when you walk out of here, or sometimes even those that have come into the meetings, there are people that are desperate. They don't have the help that they need. And that's really what we are called to do. To be the light, to be the influence, and to minister to them if we possibly can. See them touched by the power of God. Amen. This boy's circumstance was so desperate. When you read the same account in the Gospel of Mark, it gives a little further detail to his circumstance. It says that he was deaf and dumb. He couldn't talk. He couldn't hear. He was in such a situation that these demonic spirits would tear him. He would gnash and foam with his teeth. He was pining away. He was dying physically. He was
He was almost gone. He was just barely surviving because of this physical attack, this demonic attack against his physical body that was going on in his life. Now, the first thing I want to just mention to you is that desperation has to be met with desperation by us. A desperate need, it has to be met by a desperate heart and a desperate cry and a desperate prayer. Don't wait on someone else to do this for you, but instead, if your situation is desperate, then you get desperate. You get desperate. You be willing to do whatever you need to do to get in the presence of God, to whatever you need to do to see the answers come. Then you allow the Lord to stir your heart and to recognize that the desperate have to become desperate themselves. A second thing is that you need to be reminded of the fact that men will help you, but men are limited in what they can do. These disciples, they said, we brought him to your disciples and they couldn't help him. They tried, but they couldn't help him. Well, I'm grateful for great people of God and great men and women of God who've blessed your life, and God uses people. I understand that he does meet people and blesses people, and our lives have been so touched and encouraged by great people of God, and I'm thankful for that. But sometimes it's important for us to remember that we can't lean on the arm of the flesh. We can't lean on our own strength or the strength of our brothers and sisters. Sure, they can pray and they can help us and they can encourage us, but there are times when human help is limited. There's not a whole lot that we can do. There are circumstances where you have to break through yourself and get in the presence of Jesus and receive the help that you can get from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, these disciples, they've had encounters with the Lord before. Not only that, they were sent out by Jesus himself. And when they were sent out, the Bible says in Matthew 10, he called them unto him 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits. He cast them out to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then in verse 8, they healed the sick, they cleansed the lepers, they raised the dead, they cast out devils. They've done all these things. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what Jesus empowered them to do. So I understand that God uses people. And I'm grateful that he does. But we have to also be reminded of the fact that there are many circumstances and many times when it's a big mistake to put your confidence in men. Trust in men. I've known of people that they were just waiting for some big televangelist to come to town or to come within driving distance so they could go there and receive help. If they're used of God to see healing, we need to remember that Jesus is the healer. And Jesus is the one that can move for you. He's the one that can move in your circumstance and in your need. And so, to not only become desperate, but to also be willing to admit, Lord, I recognize that men are limited in what they can do. There's a limitation in the hand and the arm of the flesh, but Lord, we can put our trust in you. So they had cast out devils before, healed the sick before. As a matter of fact, they come back just really feeling great about themselves because the demons were subject to them. They felt really good about the power that they had in their own lives. But now they come up against something that they seem to be powerless against. And of course, Jesus identifies a weakness in their faith and in their confidence, their a problem with unbelief in their life. This is a situation that's too big for them. They can't resolve it. They can't take care of it. Those are the kind of circumstances that would require that we get desperate before God and that we press in to him. We get a hold of God ourselves. Isn't it wonderful that he is no respecter of persons? Amen. Doesn't have to have a priest or a pastor or anyone necessarily to get you through into the presence of God. I'm not limiting the blessing of having people who can pray with you or pray for you. But sometimes you need to get a hold of God yourself. sometimes you need to wait before Him and in the presence of God and commit your situation to the Lord and let the Lord know, Lord, I'm desperate. I've tried everything. There's nowhere else I can turn. But Lord, I'm looking to You because I know that You are the answer. Amen. I know that You can help me and You can deliver me in this situation. And another thing that we need to realize, just pulling out about three or four things from this text. The third thing is that demonic activity, what's going on in our world today, is an increase in demonic activity. We're getting closer and closer to the end of this age, closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. And you can be sure that Satan knows that his time is short. And so he is stepping up his efforts. In this world, in our nation, in our community, around the world, there is an increase in demonic influence and demonic activity. Revelation 12 and 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows his time is limited, and so he's stepping up his efforts. There's this increase demonic activity that's going on in our world today. And let's just be honest. We're no match for the devil. We're no match for the devil. It is only by his might and power and by the working of the Spirit of God in our lives and in our circumstance that we're going to see this devil working, that's working against us to bring destruction and to stop us from experiencing the blessing of the Lord in our life. We're going to have to get a hold of God ourselves. Amen. We know that the last days are characterized by the devil stepping up his efforts. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The last days are characterized by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Satanic doctrine, it's not biblical, and it's inspired from hell. It's doctrine and teaching that is not from God. And we see that. And we hear some of that teaching and some of that philosophy from time to time. Doctrines of devils. If it's not in the Word of God, then you can be sure that it's inspired by the devil himself to try to lead you astray. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because Satan knows his time is short. He doesn't have much time. He's stepping up his efforts. And in these last days, the situation is desperate, and you and I need to become desperate as well. 2 Timothy 3 and 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what's going on in these last days. Amen. Say it's just a continual stepping up of satanic efforts and lies and deception and bad doctrine that's being promoted in these last days. And so we are no match for the devil. We can't face the enemy in our own power, but we must turn to the Lord. This demonic influence in this young boy was destroying him. You know, that's what Satan has come to do. Rob and steal and kill, destroy. That's what he's come to do. He wants to do that to you, me, your life, your family, your friends, people that you love, people that you're concerned about. Behind it all, it's all demon-inspired. It's hell-inspired to bring destruction to their life and damn their soul in hell. That's what the enemy wants to do. And he's trying to do that in these last days. The interesting thing about Jesus is Jesus is always in control, even in demonic situations. Hallelujah. He's in control. Amen. Remember when he landed there in the country of Gadara? There is that man who's a demoniac of Gadara. He's been there. The Bible says they would bind him. They couldn't keep him bound. He would break the chains. He was crying and cutting himself in the tombs. He was a miserable person. His existence was hopeless. And he was going to die because of this demonic control of his life. All it took was for Jesus to show up. All it took. Immediately, this demon understood who he was, and Jesus knew who he was. Amen. Whenever there's a demonic situation, you can be sure that Jesus takes control of situations that are demonic. You may not be able to, but you need the presence of God, the power of God working and moving in your life. We need the outpouring of the Spirit of God. We need the fullness of the power of God working in our lives, working in our church, in our ministry, because we are dealing with these circumstances in these last days. Remember, there in the 19th chapter, the demon said, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you?" Jesus knew how to distinguish these demon forces. Jesus recognized them. He recognized this demoniac of Gadara. And in your situation, whatever you are facing, whatever, as difficult as it is, just even this child that's so controlled. Another thing from the other text there in the Gospel of Mark is the question, how long has he been this way? How long has he been in this circumstance? Since he was a small boy. I don't know how old he is, but since he was just a small boy, he's been affected by this. Do you know that even if your circumstance has been a long, long time that you've been under this influence, it makes no difference. If Jesus steps on the scene, he can change the circumstance. The Bible says that Jesus rebuked. He rebuked that spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 18. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Praise the Lord. Oh, we need the presence of Jesus in our lives. The presence of Jesus in our services, in everything that we're attempting to do for God, in the work of the ministry. We need Jesus to be the focus and the center of all that we're working and all that we're doing. He has power over all of these circumstances. Even when men fail and fall short of what they can do, the Lord can step on the scene and he can bring about a deliverance. The disciples then are asking the question, why? Why couldn't we deliver him from this demonic? Jesus said, verse 20, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So he qualified there for those disciples that day. You didn't bring deliverance, but you could have. You didn't, but you could have. There was something that they could have received extra from the Lord, a power, a dynamic, a power from God, the Spirit of God, that would cause them to be equal to the task, even of this big challenging task of this demon force in this child that's had a hold of his life since he's been young. They could have, by faith, even the size of a mustard seed. Amen. But then he adds, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by fasting and prayer." And that's my fourth point, that there are some circumstances and some situations that you have to be willing to go to a whole different level of commitment to God. You have to be willing to step up your dedication to God. You have to be willing to step up your commitment in prayer and seeking the Lord at a whole new level. When a person begins to pray and fast, then they're setting aside, you know, physical things, physical needs, so that they can focus their attention on spiritual things, stepping up a whole higher level than most of the time that we live in. But if you really sense that you're in a struggle, a life and death struggle with the enemy of your soul. And you may be battling for family members, loved ones, or circumstances that seem to be so far out of your control. I want to challenge you. And I did challenge some folks not too long ago, going through a situation in their family. And I challenged them, set aside some time when you pray and fast and seek God with your whole heart. Call upon the Lord. Set aside a meal or two or three or a day or two or three, whatever it is, that however God directs you. And you call upon the Lord and step up to a whole different level. I'm convinced you will see the mighty hand of God begin to work in your behalf. Amen. As you focus upon this circumstance that seems impossible. So I've presented to you the contrast of chapter 17 here this morning. The contrast is, yes, we all have these glorious, wonderful spiritual experiences and thank God for them. But when they're over, we have to come down and we have to face the nitty-gritty of our daily experience, our life, every day. And that is that people are bound in sin. That means that that's because there are needs all around us. Burdens and circumstances that are out of our power and out of our control. And quite frankly, much of the time, people that we care about and that care about us, they want to help us, but seemingly they can't. But I do believe if you become desperate before God, that you can press in. You can get a hold of God. You can touch Jesus. And the presence of the Lord can always bring a change to your circumstance. There, Satan, no matter in what form or how he's working and moving against you, he is no match for the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So step up and believe God. Let's have confidence and believe that God can work in a lot of impossible situations. Amen. And he can master your situation, even your circumstance that you may think, Lord, the Lord's not, he's not concerned about my need or my problem or my burden. But oh, yes, he is. Jesus was willing to condescend and come right down to earth where you live. Right down and help you in the situation that you're in. Praise God. What a wonderful thing that we serve a loving and a compassionate Savior who cares about us even in our lowly, difficult circumstances that we face. And he'll help you today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The Lord will help you as you become desperate and put your complete trust in him today. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you can help us, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Lord, I commit this service to you and this prayer time, Lord, to you. Because, Lord, you know the burdens and the troubles, the worries. You know what people are up against here this morning. And we know, Lord, you're the answer. And what we must do is press in to you. Not let any around us hinder us. But Lord, get into your presence. Because we know, Lord, you're the one that can face every demonic attack and put the enemy to flight. And Lord, we ask that you would work mightily the lives of people in our lives today in this service. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to make this prayer time, this altar call, a time when maybe some of you that are in a circumstance that's very pressing in your heart, and maybe some of you are really battling with sickness, you're struggling, you know that the enemy's using this against you to stop you, to hinder you, to discourage you, or maybe other circumstances in your life, trouble and worries and burdens, maybe in your family, maybe it's troubles on your job or finances, circumstances, and the enemy's using these things against you, trying to discourage your confidence and your faith in him. Oh, you need to get to Jesus today. You need to press into Jesus today because he's the answer. He can help you. He can answer your cry. This was the glorified Lord that was able to come down to earth. Hallelujah. And that's who he is. Yes, he's glorified. He's high and he's lifted up. He's greater than we can even comprehend or imagine. Oh, the greatness of our Savior. Oh, the wonderful thing is that he loves you. He cares about you. And even the things that are going on right now in your mind, in your heart, he cares about you. He's the answer. Praise God. Hallelujah.